Thank you, Lord. Well, let's open our Bibles to Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians chapter 3. We began a series a couple of months ago on Easter Sunday, which I've entitled Redeemed from the Curse of the Law. Boy, that just sounds good, doesn't it, Robert? I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And we have spent some time camping on the questions that you need to ask when you read passages of Scripture like this. You need to ask, first of all, the question, what does it mean to be redeemed? If we're redeemed from the curse of the law, what does it mean to be redeemed? You know, there's a lot of words we use in Christendom that we just throw them out there religiously. We don't even really know what they mean. But the word redemption contains in it a whole lot of legalities. Because what it means is to be bought back out of slavery. Amen. To be purchased, ransomed out of the control and dominion of another. And we need to understand that when you're born in the flesh and you're born on this earth, you were born as a slave of sin. Every person that's born in this earth, I don't care whether they're out there practicing openly witchcraft or not, they're still serving Satan. Amen. The Bible says they're children of disobedience. Yes. So every person's under the dominion of Satan when they're born into this earth. But when you get born again, you're no longer under his control. Now the Bible says we have obtained eternal redemption, meaning that now the price has been paid because we received that purchase price, which is the shed blood of Christ. And when we receive that price that was paid, we are no longer under his control anymore. We're no longer under the control of sin anymore. That's why I hate the little phrase where people says, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I hate it when people say that because you can't be both. I'm not an old sinner anymore. Because why? I don't make an occupation of sinning anymore. I got a new employer, and I'm practicing righteousness now, amen? I'm practicing love. So I'm not under the dominion of sin any longer. Because why? I'm not under the law, but under grace. Amen. So I'm no longer under the control of Satan anymore. So because the price has been paid and I have received the price of the blood of Christ, guess what? Satan has no right, no control over me ever again. But there's a lot better news to this, because another question we should ask is, what have we been redeemed from? Now there was a lot of scriptures that validate everything I just said to you. But this scripture says specifically we have been redeemed from something specifically. What is it? Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. So a wise Christian would therefore read this and say, well, what is the curse of the law then? Because I need to find out what the scripture says I have been bought out of, what I have been ransomed from. Amen? So the way we find out what the curse of the law is we go back under the law. And we find out what the law says its curse was. And the most detailed explanation of the curse of the law is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68. Amen. Now I hope that you've gone and read that on your own and found out what it said. And I'm going to break down a lot of these things over the next several weeks. And today I'm very excited about, because I feel like I went to medical school this week. Because I started studying all these sicknesses and diseases, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Because the curse of the law contains in it specific illnesses and infirmities and diseases that God said he would strike people with for violating his law, and he called this the curse of the law. But we're not reading this as something to be feared, as something that maybe can happen to us anymore. No, we're reading it through the lens of Galatians 3:13, which says Christ has redeemed us from all of these things listed in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. Now, if you didn't put your shouting clothes on, go ahead and change right now, because you're going to get real excited about this. See, many of us have heard a lot of scriptures over our lifetime. If you've traveled in charismatic circles, spirit-filled circles, you've heard the scriptures that say he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. By his stripes we are healed. And you know what? That should be enough for for you to be able to believe for your healing and walk in your freedom from sickness and disease. The generalities are good enough. But the problem is we dwell in a body. We dwell in weakness of this flesh. And in the weakness of our flesh, we hear things so many times that we become dull to it. To where those same truths that I just quoted you don't impact our hearts like they once did. And we've learned to tolerate and just accept certain sicknesses and diseases. Because why? Maybe hope deferred has made your heart sick. Or whatever it might be. Well, we're going to get into some specific things today that the Scriptures tell you you have been redeemed from. But before we go over to Deuteronomy 28 and Galatians chapter 3, let me recap what we have been talking about. We talked about the first few curses that were listed in Deuteronomy 28, I think it's verses 3 through 6, that says you will be cursed in the city, cursed in the field, cursed in your basket, cursed in your kneading bowl, and all these different things. And we found out that basically the blessing is the exact opposite of that. Now you know you've been blessed. Amen. The blessing of Abraham is upon you. Therefore, though you are free from ever being cursed in any of these areas of your life. Now what does it mean to be cursed? The word cursed literally means to be damned, to be doomed, to be devoted to destruction. And some of the terminology that we would use today of what it means to be cursed, it would be you're jinxed, you're unlucky, you're unfortunate. You know, when we say those things over people, you know that should never be the testimony of any of us. Nobody should ever be able to look at us as Christians alive and say, man, they just are real unlucky. It just seems like their life is just jinxed. It just seems like every time they take one step forward, they take two steps back. That should never be our testimony. In fact, our testimony should be the exact opposite of that, to where people look at us and they're seeing the manifestation of the goodness of God in our lives, and they're just like, man, these people, and they might use wrong terms, they might say, they're just so lucky. They're so lucky. It's just all this stuff kind of happens to them. Say, no, honey, let me change your terminology. It ain't luck. I don't believe in luck. I believe in being blessed. Help me now. Blessed. I am blessed. And not cursed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. It doesn't matter what it is. I am blessed. Now, this does not mean bad things won't happen to you. But you know what it does mean? You'll have victory over every single solitary one of them. Because the blessing. He says, you'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath. You know what that describes to me? It describes that cork. That, boy, you can put all the pressure on it all day and you try to keep it underwater. But, boy, it's just at some point, it's going to rise back to the top. Amen? It's like Joseph. No matter what the devil tried to do, throwing that man in prison, throwing that man into slavery, throwing that man into all these different things, he just was like that cork that rose back up to the top, wasn't he? Why? Because of the blessing. The blessing on his life. And that's when we got to renew our minds to understand it. I am blessed like that. My business is blessed like that. In fact, the place that I work is blessed like that because I'm there. Amen. And your employer should see this. To where, you remember we talked about Laban and what he said to Jacob when Jacob was leaving him. Laban looks at him and says, please don't go. For I know God has blessed me for your sake, Jacob. Please don't go. That should not be an uncommon thing for our bosses to say to us when we put in our resignation. Please don't go, Liz. I need you here. I mean, that's what they should be saying. Because they recognize the goodness of God on our lives. So no, we are not damned. We are not devoted to destruction. We're not all these things. And see, have you ever wondered why it's so popular to curse? Say curse words? You ever notice what they are? If you look at these words, they're all cursing words. They're actually things that define this. Why do you think the devil is filling our kids' mouths with words like this? Because he wants us speaking death and cursing. So what should we do? Well, you're fixing something. You're hammering something. And when you slam that hammer down on your thumb, what's the first thing that tries to come out of your mouth? God! No! You come up, God bless it! You're blessed, car. You're blessed, house. You're blessed, blessed, blessed. That should be what comes out of your mouth. Blessing your stuff. Blessing your kids. Blessing your body. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Because you've got the power to do it. Now let's go over to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. And let's read it. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Come on, help me out now. From the New King James, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Amen. Is that real? Is that true? Is that your reality? It absolutely is. But it doesn't happen in your life just because God has it written. That should be fairly obvious because you can look at most Christians' lives and they're not walking in this. You got to mix faith with it. You got to begin to believe it. You got to begin to rise up and say, this is mine, I will have that. See, you can't let the devil, you can't just let natural circumstances be like that. I use this example like the first time I went to India. You know, when you get into different cultures, you realize that things are done differently. Amen? A friend of mine said over there, he said, in London, they drive on the left side of the road. In India, we drive on whatever's left of the road. You get out there, and it's just people are all over the place, walking in front of you and everything. Well, also, manners aren't normal over there that we have. You know, we wait in line. You get in line if you're waiting to pay for something, right? Well, over there, I remember going, I wanted to get a Coca-Cola. Went out to this little side vending station that they had on the side of the road. And I went there, had my rupees in my hand. And I'm ready to pay, and I'm waiting in what I thought was the line. And all of a sudden, all these people started getting in front of me. And I, of course, I don't know how to speak Tamil. And I just stood there for a while and just realized, I'm not going to get a Coke unless I do something different. So I took my rupees, and I started pushing people out of the way. And I bumped through them and said, I got my Coke. Sometimes you got to do something different than the way you've been doing it to get the different results. We got to do things differently. And I'm telling you, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it. Say, take it. Take it by force. You got to rise up and fight for what is yours. And that's why I'm so excited about us now going to Deuteronomy 28. Turn over there. Because we need to specifically find out and know what is ours. You know, you won't fight for it if you don't really know it's yours. How many of you would let somebody break into your house and you're just sitting there on the couch watching TV and people just start taking your computer out of the house, going and taking your jewelry? How many of you just sit there and let them do it? No, you wouldn't. And why wouldn't you? Because that's your stuff. And you know it's yours, and you're not going to let people take what's yours. You know why so many Christians let the devil take their stuff? Because they don't know it's their stuff. And Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68 tells us what is not our stuff. Because they're curses that we've been redeemed from. Therefore, when you read it in here, you don't read it out of fear. You read it like, this is something that is not mine, and I'm not going to receive this into my life. Now, you're going to have an opportunity here at High Point Church this week to witness two miracles. The first miracle is the fact that I won't use any scriptures during my testimony at Spud Dogs on Saturday. That will be one miracle. Here's the other miracle. I'm going to use notes this morning. Because I can't remember all this. But this is good stuff. So let's go to Deuteronomy 28. And let's look at verse 21. We're talking this morning about being redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. Redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 21. Notice what he says here. The Lord will make the plague, say the plague, cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. Okay? Now, the first thing I want you to notice before we get into what the plague is, notice the purpose of this plague. It's to what? To consume you from the land which is yours to possess. See, this is one of the main reasons you should resist sickness and disease like the plague it is. You know why? Because its ultimate goal and what it does to you is it robs you of everything God has predestinated for you to walk in. It robs you of your time. It robs you of your focus. It robs you of your energy, of your attention. It even robs you of your finances. How many of us in here have poured in so much money into those prescriptions you're taking?
Amen.
When you could be pouring that into the kingdom. That should prove to you right there that it ain't of God.
Amen.
See, God's got a promised land for you. He's got a Canaan land for you. And it's not for you to always be having to look at myself and focus on, well, this is going on in my life, and always having to give attention to my own stuff. God wants you to live free physically so that, why? You can minister to others physically. But when you're sick and always hurting and things like that, and it keeps you from going places, and it keeps your attention on yourself, you're not thinking about praying for other people. That's why it's bad. But this says specifically that it's going to be a plague that's going to cling to you. Now notice this. This is what a plague is. A plague is an infectious disease by bacteria. And depending on the areas of the body that are infected, the lymph nodes, the blood vessels, or the lungs, will determine what concentrated areas of the body are affected. Some examples would be of the bubonic plague, bird flu, mad cow disease, and all these different things, right? Some other translations actually define this as being plagued with diseases. Infected with plagues, or having disease after disease. So what we're talking about, when you see the word plague, we always think of the big cases. But really all a plague is a bacterial infection. It's a disease. So guess what? According to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the plague, from infections, from diseases, from anything of harmful bacteria would bring into my body. I'm redeemed from it, according to Galatians 3:13. That's good news, isn't it? And that's not the only scripture that says that. If you turn over to Psalm 91, turn over there with me. Psalm 91 and verse 10. Oh, I love this verse. How many of you love Psalm 91? How many of you got something underlined and highlighted in Psalm 91? You should be speaking this out of your mouth every morning over you, over your kids, over your stuff, that I am kept under the shadow of His wings. Well, verse 10 says, no evil shall befall you. No evil. So it should never be okay for us to tolerate anything evil trying to fall on us. Amen. Nor shall any what? Plague. Come near your what? Dwelling. So we're talking here about a disease, a bacterial infection shall come near your dwelling. Now this has got a twofold meaning. It can mean obviously your home, where you live at. So you can lay claim to that. That when something is going around, you draw the bloodline. Nope. Not on my property and not on my watch. I will receive no bacterial infection or disease on my property, according to this scripture. Amen. And then, it can also mean your dwelling being your temple. No bacteria, no infection on this dwelling where the real me lives. Amen. That's what this scripture says. See, we live in our own proverbial land of Goshen. And even when all those plagues were hitting Egypt, you remember that? They were all hitting that. And you go read that passage again. Notice what happened in the land of Goshen where the children of God lived. Nothing happened there. To even where, when darkness covered the land, light still shone down in Goshen. That's a supernatural miracle, boy. We are living in miracles here. That's our land of Goshen. See, this is why you can affirmatively say, according to Psalm 91, verse 7, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. You know what that scripture proves and validates to you? Don't take the experiences of your dear old Saint Meemaw, who got sick and died, and all the different things that are going on around you. It doesn't matter. If every person got a disease, every person was getting sick, every person's getting affected that, you affirmatively declare out of your mouth, it shall not come near me. It's not mine, according to this scripture. Doesn't matter. See, people base doctrine on experiences. Far too much. Well, I know such and such prayed, and they were believing, and then they end up dying. You don't know what they believed. They might have been talking a good game. You don't know what's in people's heart. Never base your doctrine on what somebody else has experienced, or even yourself. Base it on the Word and the Word alone. Amen. This is when it works for you. So I've been redeemed from the plague that would try to cling to me and consume me from the land that I'm going. That's good news, isn't it? Now go back over to Deuteronomy 28 and let's look at the next verse. Deuteronomy 28, 22. Ooh, man. It goes on to say, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, and with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. Now, when you read these things, you'll notice that these are things that we can't relate to. We don't know what the consumption is. We don't know what all these different things are. Some of them, you know, everybody knows what a fever is, don't you? We know what inflammation is, don't we? But some of these things use terminology because of that. Why? They were sicknesses and diseases that were specific to this time. But they have meanings of how we can relate them to our current days, sicknesses and diseases. Okay? And we're going to look at some of these. Notice the first one is consumption. Now, the word consumption describes a wasting away of the body. A wasting away of the body. It's translated three times as a wasting disease. And this is interesting. It's also translated tuberculosis three times. So guess what? I'm redeemed from tuberculosis and from ever having it. Amen. So if the doctor ever comes to you and says, well, I hate to tell you this, hon, you got tuberculosis. Just start praising God right in front of them right then. Say, no! Galatians 3:13 says, I'm redeemed from tuberculosis. Thank you, doc, for giving it that name. Because I'm redeemed from that. Now, when it describes a wasting disease, I called on a few of our nurse ladies that we have as part of our fellowship. And I sent them a text message and said, would you describe to me what would be considered a wasting disease in modern day medicine? Notice what some of these are. Alzheimer's. Lou Gehrig's disease. It would describe any disease that causes the muscles to deteriorate and the body to become weaker. So if it falls under that umbrella, what can you say according to Galatians 3:13? I am redeemed from the consumption, from any wasting disease that would try to lay waste of my body. Amen. Then he goes on to say, fever. Now, a fever then is a fever now, right? And actually, if you skip down, you'll notice that he talks about a severe burning fever later on in this verse. We're talking about extreme high temperatures. So you are redeemed from getting a high temperature. That ain't everybody. Come on now. This is good news. You're redeemed from a fever. Now notice this. The word for severe burning fever, this is the way it's translated in a couple other translations. One translation defines this phrase as strep throat. So I'm redeemed from ever having strep throat again. Isn't that good, Eleanor? Glory to God. And then it's also defined as influenza. See, these things happen, and we just tolerate them, don't we? We're just like, well, that's just part of living in the world. I guess it's just going to happen. I mean, how can we? We're not just men. We're not just women anymore. We are children of God with the anointing living on the inside of us. Therefore, according to the Word of God, we can and have the right to resist these things from ever happening to us. But the reason they happen, because we tolerate them. We just accept them. And we've bought the lie of the devil that this is just going to happen if you live in the world. Does it have to? No. Not according to this. Amen. It's also translated, the word fever, as a burning fever or inflammation. And we actually see the word inflammation in the next word. Inflammation. This word for inflammation is translated as malarial fever. Glory to God. Listen to this. It's translated twice as a mere cold. And somebody will say, well, I don't believe that, Pastor. I don't believe you can go through your life without getting a cold. Well, don't get in my face about it. It won't affect you none. It ain't going to work for you unless you believe this. But this scripture tells us, I have been redeemed from the common cold. I don't have to have it. Amen. Amen. See, when you look at, I remember when I was studying this out, and I'd known some of these things before, but really, it's not a fever or inflammation that we're fighting against. Actually, those are our body's natural responses to the real invading force. When the bacteria is in there, the body becomes inflamed. The fever rises because your body is fighting it off. So you know what that should teach you and absolutely solidify you in? If your body is going to fight off sickness and disease like that, why aren't you fighting it? Our souls need to rise up and fight off bacteria or infections that try to come in it like the body does. And when the soul begins to fight it at the same rate as the body is trying to fight it, then you'll live free from it. Amen. You got to be a fighter. Well, I'm a lover, not a fighter. Well, you better become a fighter too. You're going to live free from it. Amen. Got to become a fighter. Now skip down to the end of this verse. Notice the word mildew. You see that word, mildew? Somebody will read that and say, oh, praise God, I never have to clean that dirty bathtub anymore. No, that's not what this mildew is talking about. That falls more under the curse of the fall than the curse of the law. But if you look up the word mildew, this is what it's translated as in other places. Jaundice. Or paleness of face. So we're talking here about things like kidney and liver problems. I'm redeemed from kidney and liver problems. Glory to God. And I don't have to accept it no more. I don't have to receive any of this. I remember when I went and had a physical done last time, they said, you got some abnormalities in your kidneys. And you know, I just didn't fight it. When I heard that, I was just, oh, okay. But see, now I'm fighting it. Because I'm like, I am redeemed, according to Galatians 3:13, from the mildew. From jaundice, paleness of face, any kidney or liver disease problem. And I don't have to have it. Glory to God. Skip down to verse 27. Let's look at a couple more of these. You getting anything out of this morning? Thank you, Lord. Not going to tolerate it anymore. It ain't mine. I'm redeemed. See, Jesus paid the price for it, right? We're talking about being redeemed from something, meaning the price was paid. He himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, and by his stripes, you and I were healed. So you should resist sickness at the same rate as you would resist sin, because he bore them both at the same time. But see, we just tolerate it because we don't see it as evil. It's evil if it robs you of your time, your attention, your focus, and it keeps you laid up in the bed to where you can't get around being a blessing to people. It's a thief. Now, in verse 27, it says, the Lord will strike you, listen to this, with the boils of Egypt. Now, how many of you are King James only people in here? What do you got? You got the botch of Egypt. Now, Matt, listen. If I came here today with a little vial of some green, bubbly, gooey stuff, said, Matt, this is the botch of Egypt. You want some? No, you're not going to want the botch of Egypt. How many of you know you don't need to know what it is to know you don't want it? I don't know what the botch of Egypt is, but I know I've been redeemed from it and I don't ever want it. Well, my translation says the boils of Egypt. The King James, that's what the King James says is the botch of Egypt. Now notice this. This is interesting. It's described in other translations as burning sores, scabs, and inflammatory diseases. It's even, listen to this. Ooh, some of y'all are going to get excited about this one. It's even translated three times as ulcers. What is an ulcer anyways? It is basically a sore on the surface of the skin or in the intestinal tract of the body. So a sore inside is the same as a sore outside. So you're redeemed from all ulcers and from any sores. Glory to God. And it's not working when you get excited about it. I'm redeemed from it. Amen. Now the next one is tumors. Now, what's a tumor? We know what a tumor is. If any time you ever feel a growth or they say, oh, yeah, you got a tumor in there, I am redeemed from tumors. Amen. Thank you, Lord. From ever having a tumor, I'm redeemed from it. Now, some other translations, this is interesting. It's also defined here as hemorrhoids. I'm redeemed from hemorrhoids or swellings in the groin area. It's translated that way. So what do you say to these things? According to Galatians 3:13, I am redeemed from tumors, swellings in the groin area, and hemorrhoids. I don't have to have them. See, what I'm trying to show you today is this is what you have. And when you know what you have, you will fight for what you know you have. Amen. Then the next one is the scab. See, there's another one, man. I don't even know what that was. It just sounds bad, doesn't it? Well, the word scab, listen to some other translations. This is interesting. One translation says scurvy. Y'all know what that is? It is a disease that can cause anemia, exhaustion, and swelling in parts of the body, and sometimes ulceration of the gums and teeth. Amen. The Hebrew word used here is also translated eczema. Yeah, we're talking about skin diseases here. You see this? One translation just describes it as a rash. I'm redeemed from rashes. Amen. The Septuagint, which is a very reliable Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures, translates this word, listen to this, as a malignant scab. So what are we talking about here? Skin cancer. I'm redeemed from skin cancer. And this one right here, God started pouring some things into me when I read this. Because how many people do you see fighting skin cancer? They don't fight it like they would fight something else. And you know why? Because they believe they did something to deserve it. Well, you know, I guess it just makes sense that I have skin cancer because when I was a kid, I went out to the beach and just spent all day out there with no sunscreen on. So they receive it and bite the lie that now they have to have it. Let me give you a good revelation this morning. You can receive healing as a gift of mercy just as much as you can receive healing as a gift of grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, right? So He's provided healing for us, right? That's what all these promises are based on. But mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So even when we might have done something in our past or made some poor decisions and it's caused a physical infirmity like skin cancer to come on our body. You don't need to just buy it hook, line, and sinker. You can say, I will receive healing as an act of mercy, which is me not getting what maybe I do deserve. That's meant to set you free. Right there, glory to God. Turn over to a scripture. I want to show you one. Philippians chapter 2 to validate this to you. Philippians, the second chapter. And while you're turning over there, listen to me. I want to get you to do two things at once right now. Do you remember the last healing that Jesus ever performed on his ministry on the earth? Do you remember who it was? It was a man named Malchus. This was the temple guard that was a part of that band that had come to arrest Jesus and take him away to the cross. And you remember when they came, Peter pulled out his knife and cut the man's ear off? Now, what would most Christians' reaction would have been there? Well, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. What's he doing arresting my Jesus? He deserved to get his ear cut off. Now he's going to have to live the rest of his life with one ear. That's the way most people would think. But not Jesus. Jesus then took the ear and slapped it right back on him and healed him. So here's the big message you need to get out of that. If Jesus healed his enemy who deserved what he got, how much more is he going to heal his brothers and sisters who maybe deserve what they got? In fact, we had a man come and sit here in healing school one Thursday and was given all the reasons why he deserved the cancer he had, all the bad things he had done in his life. I'd never thought about this before, but the Lord gave me the answer for him. I said, let me ask you something, sir. If all these scriptures that talk about when Jesus walked the earth, that multitudes, great multitudes came to him and he healed them all, do you not reckon that there was probably a very good percentage of those people that came that maybe did something to deserve their sickness and illness? And he was like, yeah, I would probably say more than 50%. It could have been sin. Could have been making a poor decision of not taking care of your body. Jesus healed them all anyways. So what makes you any different for the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. Now look here in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 25 through 30. Thank you, Debbie. Let's read this little account. Have y'all ever heard of a man named Epaphroditus? This is the man who traveled from the church of Philippi to bring an offering to Paul when he was imprisoned in Rome. Notice what Paul said concerning him. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Let's go to the next verse. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. Stop right there. So this man had become so sick, he was at the brink of dying. Okay? Now notice this, but God had mercy on him. Now, people, they start tripping when they see that because they're like, what does that have to do with having mercy on him? Because I thought healing was grace. Well, you can get healing by mercy, which is what? Not getting what you do deserve. We're going to get to that here in a moment. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Let's keep reading to verse 30. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in high esteem. Now notice verse 30. Because for the work of Christ he came close to death. So this was something that he was doing for the Lord that caused him to get sick, that almost took his life from him. But he came, because of the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life. So we have to speculate on what was happening here. And I think all likelihood what happened with this man was he had to travel in the elements to go to Paul. He was probably sleeping out on the road. You know, they didn't have hotels and stuff like that on every single Roman road. He put himself in harm's way to deliver this. Right? So there was a position where he was in where he did something to deserve the sickness because he defied natural laws. You see that? Now, but God had mercy on him. So he got healing by mercy, not getting what he did deserve. See, that's why what we need to receive out of here in Deuteronomy 28 is that I can receive. I might have done something wrong. I might have done something stupid. I might have smoked too much of that stuff when I was younger, and all my brain cells are out. But that doesn't mean you got to live your life, man. Y'all know how much I used to do, and the very fact that I've got any memory left is a miracle. I'm for real. But see, God will redeem the time, and He will restore to you the things that maybe even you opened the door for the devil to come in and do to you. You know, a thief is a thief whether you have your door locked and they break it down and come in and take your stuff, or if you leave the door wide open one night and somebody comes in your house. They're still a thief, aren't they, Matt? So even if you left the door open through your own numbskull decision, you can still resist the thief from stealing from you because he's still a thief. Amen. Now go back over to Deuteronomy 28. We're going to start winding this up. Then, after he says, the boils of Egypt, tumors, the scab, notice what he says next, the itch. Oh, there's another bad one. Nobody wants to get the itch, do you? Now, it's basically, one translation calls it the incurable itch. The incurable itch. So this refers to skin disease as well. But how about all kinds of allergies that cause you to itch? I'm redeemed from the allergies that would cause me to itch. And that the doctors say is incurable leads me to my next point. Notice the last part of this verse. From which you cannot be healed. In other words, you know what we can put up under this? Anything the doctors say is incurable. I'm redeemed from, according to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 27, I'm redeemed from things that they say I cannot be healed from. Isn't that good news? Glory to God. Now look at verse 35. Deuteronomy 28, 35. It says, the Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. So this includes all knee problems, leg problems. I'm redeemed from them. See, I did something dumb the Friday night. I go out there, you know, we still feel like we're bulletproof and we can still do everything. I go out and play in baseball with Levi and them. And boy, Levi hits one in the gap and I go over and field it. Turn around and throw it back in. I mean, just acting like I'm still 18 years old. Flip around and come down on my leg. My leg's totally straight like that. Come down, boom, and it just jammed in. I thought something bad had happened. It hurt. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. From the curse. Hallelujah. Of afflictions in the knees. Amen. Glory to God. Now, go to verse 58. We're going to start winding this up. Skip down to verse 58. Some of y'all, man, I'm just watching your faces. Y'all act like y'all ain't never heard nothing like this before in your life. But I'm telling you, go and study to show yourself approved. Get in this yourself and let this word get planted down in your heart, because I'm telling you, it works. It works. According to Galatians 3:13. Verse 58, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants. Stop right there. So now we're talking about sickness and disease and afflictions in your kids. So you've got the right, according to Galatians 3:13, to be redeemed from sicknesses and diseases on your seed and descendants. Now, notice this. The Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues. King James says wonderful plagues. That means they're wonderful like you want them. Wonderful, and the doctors will look at you and just wonder. I can't figure out what's going on with you. So you should actually get excited when you go to the doctor and they say, I can't tell you what's wrong with you. Praise God! That's concluded under the curse of the law that I am redeemed from extraordinary, wonderful plagues or things that just make people wonder. Amen. Now notice this. Great and prolonged... Oh, this is going to make shouting ground right here. Great and prolonged plagues and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Now the word prolonged here, let me read you a few translations of how it's translated. This is good stuff right here. Prolonged. In other translations say, long plagues and sicknesses. Lasting plagues and sicknesses. Plagues and sicknesses that will never be stopped. Lingering plagues and diseases. Have you ever had something that just seemed to linger? You're redeemed from it. Listen to this. Long continuances of plagues and sicknesses. Plagues and sicknesses of long duration. Glory to God. Long-lasting plagues and sicknesses. And this is my favorite one because this is the way I would talk. If this was Betray's translation. Plagues and sicknesses that go on and on. I am redeemed a long time. If they're lasting too long and they're going on and on and on, I am redeemed from that curse. I went and saw Pat Townsend last week, and she's been having these rebounds of this pneumonia. It just keeps coming back, and it's lingering and going around. And I remember sharing this scripture with her, and she just lit up. I was like, how about this? You're redeemed from prolonged, lingering pneumonia that goes on and on and on. Hallelujah. So somebody will hear this, and they'll be like, well, Pastor, you didn't name my sickness. You didn't name my disease. You didn't name my infirmity. I'm about to do so right now. Look at the next verse. Then it says, listen to this, moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt. That's the sicknesses and diseases of the world. Egypt is a type of the world. That means you are redeemed from the sicknesses and diseases that the world says you have to have. Of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Oh, now the Lord's targeting something. You know why it clings to you? When you fear it. That's why, and I'm not putting something on you right here. You got to do wherever your heart is. But that's why I don't get the fear shot. I mean the flu shot. Because a lot of times we do those things. Why? Motivated by fear. And when you do things motivated by fear, fear's how you receive from the devil. And if you show fear in it, I was telling somebody that the other day, man, if you just go places, that's why it's like you act like you belong where you go. It's like I've had dogs that will come and, you know, they're ready to attack me. Me and Shannon and Levi, I'll be walking around the neighborhood, have no sticks, have nothing to fight them off with, and these dogs will come out, and Shannon will tell you, when I see them, rawr, I go back at them like that. Those dogs run. But when you show fear and tuck your tail and run, then they bite you right in the tail. Don't show fear to the devil. That's the only time he'll get you. Now notice this. Also, every sickness, say every sickness, and every plague, say every plague, which is not written in the book of the law, will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. So what's he saying here? You have been redeemed from every sickness, every disease that's not even recorded in the book of this law. Meaning if it's got a name, if it's out there somewhere, you've been redeemed from it. Hallelujah. It don't matter what it is. That's why I want to kiss the doctors when they try to tell, well, you got this blah, 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 blah. And they put this whole new name. And they love to put names on stuff. And I get all excited about it because you know what I know? I know I've been given the name which is above every other name. So if they put a name to it, I am redeemed from it. Because I got the name which is above every name that it'll ever be named. Of every sickness and every disease and every infirmity. If it's got a name, I got the name that's greater.
Yes, Jesus.
Can you say amen to that? Well, let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah.